football on off the ball.
Yeah, I think we needed a big statement home win like that, and I think it was convincing to go. It's never happened in my whole career that I've conceded after 8 seconds. I can't believe we conceded after 8 seconds.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The Racing Pod
on Off the Ball
with William Hill. 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.
And you're very good morning, folks. It's day one of Punchestown 2026. You're very welcome to the first of four special episodes of the Racing Pod this week on Off the Ball with John Duggan. And special guests this week, we'll have Johnny Ward, we'll have Don McLean, and we'll also have Tom Malone, who's here in studio today to celebrate Ireland's National Hunt Racing Festival. How are you, Tom?
Yeah, it's great. It's great. I absolutely love Punchestown, John. I'm sort of from down around the Punchestown area, grew up around there. It's the most magic time of the year, you know. We used to have a shop in Ballymore Eustace, which is like pretty much the closest village to Punchestown, and you know, the whole place just used to shut down. You get the week off school, everything. So yeah, it's a very special place in my heart.
Every morning, folks, at 10 a.m. between now and Friday, you're going to be able to view our digital channels on YouTube, for example, expert race previews, details and market moves, the all important tips. The pod's available wherever you get your pods at 11:30 a.m. each day, and racing beginnings, for example, at 2:30 the next few days. So you've got plenty of time to get through everything. A reminder, folks, as well, the full Off the Ball Racing Pod with William Hill, free wherever you get your podcasts. Punchestown, I mean, it is going from strength to strength, Tom. I was looking at the crowds last year, over 136,000 for the 5 days, over 42,000 on the Friday last year, 12 grade ones this year, 3.6 million euro in prize money. Wow, it's great weather ahead of us. Look, to be fair, they've really got their act together down there.
Yeah, it's a really well executed festival, you'd have to say. You know, I think there's a new restaurant there. It's on the Horse Walk now. As far as I know, it's sold out for most of the week. Every single time you go back, you find another little improvement that they've made. And it's just been, yeah, it's a festival that's just gone from strength to strength. Obviously, the time in the calendar, it works brilliantly as well, particularly the last couple of years where we've had Sandown end. So all the British trainers and jockeys and always can just come over on a jolly. I was actually in Nace last night and the atmosphere there was brilliant because you just had loads of English people who were over. In fairness to Nace as well, if you just show your Punchestown tickets, they let you in for free. So they had this brilliant crowd of people over from the UK and locals and everyone just building up the excitement all around the Punchestown Festival. So yeah, like I said, for all those people around Nace and Ballymore and Punchestown and Eadstown and all those places, it's just a huge, huge festival. But crucially, it's a very well executed one.
I just really feel, and I'm going down socially, for example, tomorrow, Tom, that it's just a good time of year. You know, you can get a bit of work done earlier in the day, and then there's in the afternoon. It's a big course. I just feel relaxed there. I don't feel under pressure.
Yeah, well, there's no enclosures per se. You know, obviously, like there's, you know, corporate boxes or whatever, and you can't go up there. But as regards the general concourse of the race course, which is absolutely massive, you can just go freely wherever you want. You know, there's no reserved enclosure. You can, you know, if you want to go down to the music or you want to go down, just get your bit to eat and get away from and have a social day completely away from the horses, you can do that. But like as regards access to the horses, you can go right up to as far as the stable yard, the saddling area, back over to the you know, as expansive and as well easily viewable a parade ring as there is anywhere, because the way it's sheltered in, and then just straight out to watch the horse as well. And there's so much space because it's just so well laid out too, and you know, you'll find a place there on the green if you just want to sit down at the front either. So yeah, the changes they've made, like that's relatively new, that they don't have a reserved enclosure anymore, because that used to be kind of down the right hand side through the archway, but they got rid of that. And you know, it's just, and again, when you talk about English people coming over, that's something that they latch onto, you know what I mean? Even if you go to humdrum meetings in the UK, they still have all these different enclosures with different dress codes and all that nonsense, and it just doesn't add to the, like you say, the social vibe.
It puts a tier system into it, doesn't,
yeah,
it, really?
Exactly.
And sometimes that's not necessary. No. As you say, there's the corporate element there, but if you, like, removing the tiers thing is important. There's usually a band there, there's dancing. So you can kind of do whatever you want to do at Punchestown. You can be a real purist, you can get down to the paddock and the parade ring, and then you can get up close to the horses, whether you're going down to the final fence or whatever. But then there's also the chance to be just hang around the bars and the bookies and to watch on the screen.
Yeah, you can mix the two, John. You can very much mix business and pleasure.
What about the growing? Because obviously it's a very dry week and very sunny at the moment. Look, Sandown was good going. So they say it's yielding, good yielding on the cross-country chores. They've been watering there. But how much watering can you do? Will the watering make it safe and dead, or will it just still be quick because of the weather?
No. Well, look, I actually spoke to Brendan Sheridan about this. He's the clerk of the course, and I just asked him about this last night. And he said, which we knew it was going to be dry. So we've just, they've been managing it so far out. You know what I mean? The Punchestown Festival is the key thing for Punchestown all year. So they're managing that ground. You know, it's not like they kind of woke up last Monday morning and went, oh, it's quite dry. You know, they've been applying water gently and evenly for the last couple of weeks, as far as I know. So we'll have it will be a sound racing surface, but yeah, that yielding, it'll just dry out over the course of the day, and then the evenings and maybe in the early mornings they'll put another bit of water on it to just keep it safe. They've such an enormous amount of land anyway that they can, you know, they can move racing lines to preserve them, so everything will be kept safe, plenty of fresh ground kept for each of the grade ones each day.
Folks, we're going to send out emails as well to Racing Pod club members, and this is all free as well, with our selections for the week. Myself, yourself, Tom, Johnny Ward and Don McLean. They'll land probably about 1 o'clock into your inbox. But if you want to sign up for the Racing Pod Club for free, you can at offtheball.com/Racing Pod Club. For example, anybody who's interested in tickets this week, I think got lucky. So definitely what we want to try and do is bring people to race days in the future and get people involved in the community around horse racing, because I think that's what it's all about. Let's look at the big one then, Tom, the William Hill Champion Chase, the feature race sponsored by our own sponsors, William Hill, today, the Grade 1, a 2 mile contest with five runners at 6:05 p.m. this evening. So we have Blood Destiny in there, Energumen, Il Est Etance, Majbra, and Marine Nationale. The market is telling us this morning that the big horse for all the money is Il Est Etance, who's won the Champion Chase at Cheltenham last month, a 6-5 favourite. Marine Nationale 5-2, Majbra 11-4, Energumen 25-1, and Blood Destiny 66-1. So Il Est Etance, 7 grade 1 wins to his name, including 6 over fences, a course and distance winner, has been really the champion horse this season, won the Tingle Creek at Sandown as well as the Champion Chase at Cheltenham. They've taken the hood off him. The only question is, can he maintain his form? He has a small little thing about him. He has made mistakes at Punchestown before, and he's facing a fresher Marine Nationale.
Yeah, I mean, it's a 5-horse race, but really it's a 3-horse race. And then we just have this absolute potential fly in the ointment that is Majbra. You know, right-handed wouldn't seem to obviously suit him. But from a tactical point of view, in the Champion Chase, even though he ran terribly, he effectively set up the race for Il Est Etance, because he went off at such a lick, and then a few people decided to try and follow him, and that was just an absolute kamikaze mission. There's nothing, you know, nothing could be done there. Then he invariably, you know, made his mistakes, couldn't really handle the track, according to Mark Walsh afterwards, and you know, blew out. So it's intriguing then to see what tactical element he puts to the race. Like, will Il Est Etance come and chase him? Because, you know, he can't sit off Marine Nationale if Marine Nationale stays up in the van with Majbra. So yeah, fascinating. Look, Il Est Etance is a funny one, isn't he? He's almost underappreciated, because I've been talking about this race yesterday, and the third horse we ended up mentioning was Il Est Etance, and going like, he's finally won his Champion Chase, but he's, like you said, he's a 7-time Grade 1 winner. He's incredible. But look, I suppose, to try and cut a long story short, I just think this is Marine Nationale's opportunity to really kind of right the wrongs of this season. You know, he's finished second in his two starts, and then he got cast in his box before Cheltenham. He's a great price. They were sort of 6-4, 7-4 joint favourites last night. It's now 5-4, Il Est Etance, 5-2, the other pair. I just think that's an outstanding bet at 5-2, Marine Nationale. I said I was probably siding with him when they were joint favourites, but I'd be very strong on him now at those prices.
Tom, you and I have great minds sometimes, and when great minds think alike, sometimes it can be a beautiful thing and sometimes not. But in this occasion, Marine Nationale is also my pick. He's a classic spring horse, I feel. I think he loves the sun on his back. He's a quick horse. He's fresh since February because he had a sore neck, which caused him to miss Cheltenham. He won the Champion Chase last year. He won this race last year.
Just on that, I didn't explain what happened. He said he's sort of like cast in his box, basically means when a horse rolls over and then they kind of get a leg stuck on a wall or something like that, and then they're actually not able to get back up. So they might be left there for an hour or two because someone wouldn't see you, or probably Barry Collins. All the stables have cameras, so it would be picked up. But they just kind of get stuck on their back, and then you just have to come in and reef them around and they'll get back up. So it's not, my point is, it's not a major thing. It's a kind of an injury you get, but you'd recover from very, very quickly.
But they didn't take the chance to go to Cheltenham. Yeah, so he is fresh now. He's a good jumper. He's got speed. He beat Elite Tetons in the Supreme Novices Hurdle at Cheltenham. When the late Michael O'Sullivan rode him. To me, Marie Nationale is the one to beat for me here. Until I see him beaten in this type of race, in a spring race, I can't oppose him.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, you know, and he's the kind of horse you don't mind if he gets beaten in the winter. Sure you don't.
You're expecting that to a degree because he's a spring horse.
And especially the way Leopardstown was this winter. Like, it was very un-Leopardstown-like. You know, they'd almost unraced, like they had basically unraceable ground because they had to defer a day at the Dublin Racing Festival.
Look, if Elite Tetons wins, he really is a true champion. Like, he is already, but to beat Marie Nationale, I think would be saying a lot. Yeah. And I do think, you know, I mean, you can't oppose him. Majbra, look, you're taking a chance with Majbra if you're backing him. He won the Novice Chase here by 14 lengths last season after jumping, went to pot at Cheltenham, and then went to pot again this year in the Cheltenham Champion Chase. So he's got the engine to win, but you have to trust that he's going to be able to have a clear round and jump well, and you can't back him with confidence.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. You know, it's kind of the feeling now, you just feel so silly about the way Cheltenham worked out. But yes, he has won a Punchestown before, but he has made mistakes. And just maybe with Elite Tetons and definitely Marie Nationale. You know, yes, obviously he's beaten Marie Nationale already this season, but everything went his way. And that was his one performance where everything clicked. And you kind of feel like he's just not able to put that together on a consistent enough basis to go and, you know, back him with any confidence or tip him up with any confidence.
Marie Nationale to win for you?
Absolutely.
Marie Nationale to win for me. That's the William Hill Champion Chase sorted. If life was so easy, we wouldn't be doing this, would we? Let's look at the other grade ones then on the car, Tom, for day one of Punchestown. The PRL Champion Novice Hurdle at 4:15. Nine runners here over 2 miles, half a furlong. So we have El Kairos in here, who... the interesting thing about me, we were speaking about this at Cheltenham, because there wasn't not a mark of confidence behind El Kairos at Cheltenham. And the way we've been talking about him, Gordon Elliott and Jack Kennedy, about his speed, he's the current 9-4 favourite. Sober, 9-2. He's attracted support in recent days. Scottish Hustle, 5-1. Actually, money for Cocktail Brew into 13-2, who won at Ferry House recently. Lalabo, 7-1, a bit of a drifter. Blake, 12s, each to their own, 18-1. And Too Bossy for Us is 18s as well, and Free Spirit 22-1. How would you assess this 2 mile champion novice hurdle?
I would forgive El Kairos's run in Cheltenham. Gordon Elliott went to Cheltenham full of hope, and then he only left with one winner. So you kind of have to, no matter what anyone says, you have to go and say, well, his horses didn't really run.
Romeo Cudjoe didn't run at all to form, for example.
Yeah, and like, you know, to finish fifth when you're thinking, I think with the first four home, all UK trained anyway. Like, we were, when that Supreme happened, we're all having a kind of crisis of existence, really, because it was just like, wait a minute, do we not have any novices? Are all the English novices brilliant? And then, you know, we regressed to the mean. But so I think fifth last in the Supreme is fine. Also, you have to bear in mind as well, like, he's had a long time off. Horses that are running, like, we had a really early Cheltenham. Like, Cheltenham was wrapped up by, what, the 15th, 16th of March? So it was wrapped up long before St. Patrick's Day, and we have as late a Punchestown as we possibly can, as in it runs into May.
That said, Too Bossy for Us ran a Ferry House and was pulled up after finishing sixth in the Supreme. Is there a danger or a worry that horses could have maybe left their races at Cheltenham?
I'd say there's a danger horses leave the race in Ferry House, but no, I think I'd be fine. There's such a good gap. But if horses have just run at Cheltenham and Punchestown, I think there's an absolutely adequate gap. It's the horses that have done something in between that you'd worry about. The likes, look, Blake came down at the last, Cocktail Brute did look to have a hard enough looking race, and then Blake came down at the last and was able to canter home. So, I think El Kairos has a really good chance here. He's always been a decent horse. He wasn't beaten far in the bumper, was it last year, under when he was with David Maxwell, or when David Maxwell owned him? So, look, the notable thing really is the money for Sober, who's obviously a Royal Ascot winner in the past and will definitely handle quick ground. And Willie Mullins, you know, harvests these kind of races. But, I just think I don't think the champion trainer title is going to be discussed too much over the course of the week because it's kind of inevitable. But this could be one just to give Gordon Elliott an old squeak to keep his nose in front for another day.
So Sauber was a Group 2 winner on the flat at Longchamp, then won a Royal Ascot over 2.5 miles, the Queen Alexandra Stakes last year. Tom, cheek pieces on, was kicked at the Stars at Cheltenham, which was a negative, obviously, for his day there, and didn't perform. Obviously talented. As you say, Willie Mullins has won 7 of the last 8 runnings of this in Paul Tennant ride, so that says a lot, doesn't it?
Yeah, and you think about Paul Tennant, he doesn't really get it wrong very often.
No.
These days. Sure he doesn't. Like, you know, you look at the season he's had, you know, he's won a champion hurdle, a champion chase, a Gold Cup and a Grand National, and you think particularly the case of the Grand National where he did, you know, choice of, you know, 4 or 5 with really obvious chances, you know, so he's done very well.
I'm going to go each way for Lalabo, now, who has drifted out in the market, having been backed in the last day or two out to 7.5 to 1, 15 to 2. He's fresher than many of these. I think that is important. It could benefit from spring conditions. After failing to complete twice, he then beat Blake in the Grade 3 at Nace last month. There's been market support for Joseph O'Brien's runner. I think he could be one of the unexposed improving types. Each way, Lalabo.
Yeah, and that's fair. And Joseph O'Brien has a very select team of jumps horses, but don't they deliver? You know,
okay,
more
so
grade ones at Aintree.
Your selection
too.
Is Alkyrus minus.
I'm with Alkyrus.
Lalabo each way. So the third grade one of the day, the Dooley Insurance Group champion novice chase at 4.50, 3 miles and a furlong. 9 runners. Fleur in the Park, Cabbage of Pike, Kitzbühel. We have Now What You Think, Oscar's Brother, Predator's Gold, Spanish Harlem, Western Fold and July Flower. Just looking at the market this morning because there have been a lot of changes the last few days and it's almost maybe sometimes worth leaving the market alone because you just kind of bamboozle your mind if you're looking too much into it. Like Kitzbühel 6-5 favourite, Predator's Gold money for it this morning into 4s, Cabbage of Pike 15-2, is Oscar's Brother 8 a drifter, Flair in the Park 11-1, money for July Flower again into 12s with Hills, Western Fold 25s, 33 Spanish Harlem, and Now What You Think is a 33-1 shot as well. So July Flower attracting money. This is a mare. She gets a £7 allowance. She was third in a grade one over hurdles over this distance in France, which is interesting. She's a grade three winner over hurdles here, 2.5 miles at Leopardstown, grade two winner over fences over 2 miles at Cheltenham. Hard to weigh up. There's been this horse beaten 23 lengths in the mare's chase. Surely that's not good enough to win here, but there is market support.
You would think that's good enough. And I feel like July Flair is just one of those mares that a lot of people kind of tip up regularly and she just kind of, you know, she's an each way sport and then she ends up finishing 50 and you don't get paid in the place.
So what do you like instead? Is Kitzbühel rock solid?
Kitzbühel is rock solid.
Cheltenham winner.
Good jumper. Loves good ground.
Yeah.
The one I would put up against him, and I know he had a race relatively recently, but Fleur in the Park, we obviously mentioned at Fairy House.
We missed that opportunity.
But Andy Slattery has been in rare form since the flat started. He's had absolutely loads of winners. I think he's going to have probably a classic runner in the Curra as well. That's how well things are going for him. And Fleur in the Park, I actually asked him about the Curra the last day and he was like, because I was like, oh, whatever happens, you're in bonus territory here, you know, you have a lovely horse for next year. And he's like, no, we're going to win. So they are coming here. They think they have a really good chance.
And
with 10 runners, absolutely, by walking the park. He'll let the race unfold in front of him. Whether he gets there quick enough, I think he will stay.
He was not flying at the finish in that grade one novice hurdle over 3 miles here last year, finished third.
No, but I mean, at 12-1, I think we're paying for places a little bit because I think Kitzbühel is a very, very, very solid favourite and wouldn't be surprised. You know, if a couple of favourites win early in the day, you can see Kitzbühel going off 10-11.
Will he stay?
Yeah, he should do. Look, he fell last time out and he's one of those horses that has that really brilliant novice form that hasn't quite hit the heights yet. But then again, maybe Punchdown is one of those places where, you know, Champ Kylie won this last year.
Yeah.
It's one of those races where, you know, the kind of Willie Mullins second and third strings can come to the fore. And this is one of those.
Where do you stand on Oscar's Brother?
He unseeded early enough in the Grand National. I'm just not sure he's good enough. At the moment,
if it was softer ground, maybe.
Yeah, if it was softer ground.
He's a course and distance winner.
Yeah, look, he's just a horse that just screams maybe something like have a crack at the Hennessy with him next year.
Yeah.
You know, they're just in, you know, why wouldn't you run in the last grade one of the season at the season finale when you actually have a horse good enough? You know, it's a very small yard.
It might just end up being the obvious one that is Kitzbühel. He is a brilliant jumper. He was such an impressive winner at Kempton and at Cheltenham as well. In the Brown Advisory Novices Chase, which I thought was a hot race. The only question is, will that race have left a mark? We do not know that until after the race. Now, What Do You Think I just like the story. He's a small yard, Ray Hackett's best horse, won a chase at Cork this season, followed up over 3 miles in a three-runner field in the Grade 3, far tougher. But he could reward maybe a good give you a run for money. I just like the story, really.
Yeah, and I like
40-1, 50-1. I mean, just a euro each way to get in the places.
Yeah, and Liam Quinlan in the saddle as well. You know, he won a Galway hurdle, didn't he, a few years ago?
I think for Tony Martin horse,
Tony
maybe.
Martin, yeah.
Is it the Ted Veal cutters?
Yeah, one of those. And yeah, so it'd be nice for him as well. You know, these even just for lads like him to get spins in grade ones is just good. But look, I think Kitzbühel's an obvious and solid favourite. You know, the style of running at Punchestown can suit. He likes to just get out and jump and dictate, and it's kind of the perfect track to do that on a decent bit of ground. Do you know what? I didn't think he would stay the way he did in Punchestown or in Cheltenham, and the way he battled.
He did.
It was just something that I wasn't expecting from, because I thought he was kind of, you know, for me, he's an obvious horse for the King George next year, but he might, maybe he's a bit of a flat track bully. So what I saw in the RSA, I thought was brilliant. So yeah, look, Kitzbühel for me, but definitely wouldn't not have a little look at Fleur in the Park, just the prices.
This is the Punchestown special of the Racing Pod. Myself and Tom Malone, John Duggan, Tom Malone with you this morning. And we have pods every day until Friday, folks. Remember, they drop at 11:30 in the morning, wherever you get your pods. And we got a live stream on YouTube as well from 10 a.m. So we'll have you covered for everything in Punchestown this week. Please gamble responsibly if you're going to get involved. Let's look at the first race. It's over the banks, the Ladies' Cup, the half two. Don't blow your week's money in this one. Fountain House drifting out to 15-8 favourites. Will it go ahead 9-4? Money for Turnip to Volume 7-2 now. Keep on Dreaming, money for that 11-2. Knockiel Singe 18-1, 33-1 bar. Have you got a strong view on this? Any view?
I don't have a strong view on it, but look, anytime I always just first place I look in these races, End of Bulger, and I look for Peter Maher, look for Philip Rothwell, you know, relatively local trainers or specialist kind of trainers. Certainly wouldn't put you past Fountain House, because he's just had some excellent form over the course. He's had some brilliant point to point form. But it's not a race to go nuts in. If you've heard something nearby going around, you know, I would listen to that, because it's one of those races where, you know, a trainer can just, they get out for a few quiet schools maybe during the week, and they'll have horses that are really familiar with it. So absolute specialist race. So it's not one to get.
Turnip to Volume, I actually backed in this last year, and he was collared by a stable mate in the last, whatever, 100 yards here. The winner was Transprint for Richard O'Keefe. So just to find it for Barry Stone, also to ride in these races, and there is money for Turnip to Volume. So I wouldn't discount him, but probably a race to watch rather than to have a bet in, to be honest. Then we're getting into minefield territory, to be honest.
Absolutely.
Like, this is just crazy stuff. The Albert Barta Triple Crown Series Final Handicap Hurdle, 25 runners. Whew.
Yeah, and it's very good as
just
well.
When you pick a name, there's a horse called Laughing John in there, just because his name is Laughing John, I might pick his name.
Absolutely, and it's just one of those as well where you have, you know, Philip Rothwell, when he was in last week, spoke about these target, you know, target trainers.
Runners.
And he mentioned the Albert Bartlett. He mentioned the likes of Redmond Final, the William Hill series, which he ended up winning. So, you know, well, his owners are going to be enjoying the chunk of the 50 grand that he's going to put towards a big dinner for all his supporters. So, yeah, look, for me as well, these are just, they're very, very difficult to really get a handle on
the market.
Even.
So,
Laughing John is five there.
Almu Hiss, bit of money for that now. And it depends where you're looking, but Alma Hill and Laughing John generally 15-2 joint favourites. Powerful 8-1. Racky for William Mullins 10s. 11-1 Daylight Dollar short. Money for San Hilario in the Lyrian Syndicate Cutters for Gordon Elliott and Jack Kennedy into 12-1. Stick with the process 12s. Fairlander for Philip Rothwell 14s, as is another Philip Rothwell horse, Moon Mission. Matt Connor, Michael Verney wrote in the Irish Independent today about him. I think he's got an involvement in that horse, Matt Connor.
How is he?
Obviously a great Offaly player in the Gaelic Football Championship of the early 80s, 14-1. Moab has definitely halved in price for Henrietta Knight in the last few days into 20s now. And that's about it for market moves.
This is a great example of, you know, the UK runners. I think they last year there were 66 UK runners at Punchestown, and they had 8 winners, which is, I think, the same or more than they had at Cheltenham.
Would it have been a plus profit then, I wonder?
Possibly. Well, possibly. Some of them are bigger prices, because there was a lot of wins in the likes of these, like
I think there was a 50-1 winner of this race last
year. Yeah, and there was a big prize winner as well.
If you backed the English horses, you probably would have. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, Ben Smith.
Buy some time. 50-1 winner. And then Tom Lacey, the winner the year before, Tune in a Box of 16s.
But when you look even at the Cheltenham Festival as well, like the handicaps are where the UK trainers did best.
Yes.
And look, I just thought maybe Ollie Murphy had a bit of a chance there with Daylight and Dollar Short.
Sean Bowen, champion jockey.
Yeah. And look, maybe Moon Mission has a squeak for Philip Rothwell. And
Fairlander's interesting because Fairlander was 25 a couple of days ago.
Yeah. And the thing about Matt Connor as well, and you know, Philip Dempsey be a trainer very, very local to Punchestown. You know, you'd imagine that. But like everything in this race is a plot. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's the point of these series finals. But yeah, I just thought maybe Ollie Murphy's horse there, Daylight Dollar Short, just progressive 5-year-old, might be able to, you know, keep improving into at least a place, because, you know, you're probably going to get 4, 5, 6. I don't know how many places they'll give us in that. But,
I'm going to go for Fairlander each way.
Yeah.
Number 25, the bottom.
I'll be with number 5, Daylight Dollar Short.
Okay. That's the 3:05 at Punchestown on day one of our podcast. We're looking ahead to all the races. Now, let's get into another crazy handicap hurdle. This is over 2 miles, a bit shorter than the other one, the Killishi Hotel handicap hurdle. 21 runners for this one. I'm just going to go through the odds here because, once again, there have been lots of changes. Charisma, 9-2 for Harry Cobden. The favourites, Jet to Monte Carlo, who I backed at Ferry, has won. Cornerstone Walsh rides today, 5-1 in the colours of Paul Byrne. Mercia, drifting in the market for Paul Tennant and William Mullins, 11-2. Put a pound in the jars into sevens. I'm Slippy, been backed all week into 15-2 now for Philip Enright, Robert Tyner. A Larzac, money for that into tens. All the others are drifters apart from Washington at 28s and Balco Don to 33s, Tom. I backed two horses yesterday. I'm going to go through them. One has drifted markedly and one has come in markedly. So just,
oh, okay.
I don't know what them's the breaks. But Messerschmitt I did back last night and he's now out to 28-1 in places. So for Noel Mead and Dunham Myler. But how do you assess this?
Yeah, it's very difficult. And you'd always be looking for sort of bigger prices, maybe closer to the bottom of the kind of the bottom of the weights. But I've heard a lot of word about this Charisma. Obviously,
Nicky Henderson,
Harry Cobden now taking over the ride. Obviously, Harry Cobden about to take over the kind of number one Jake McManus job as well. So maybe that might be one, but like he's into sort of favourite now. Did like chance of Jet to Monte Carlo given how well he won at Fairy House. But I thought maybe Calix Delabriere, like he was as easy a winner as you'll see at Fairy House.
Different ground conditions, that
very
matter.
Very different ground conditions, but you know, I just feel they take £7 off. That could help.
So a lot of horses down here now have low weights because of.
But I feel like the low weights when you get to better ground, I feel like that matters slightly less, particularly a tightly graded handicap like this. Just when the ground gets that bit better,
doesn't matter.
I feel
as much.
Like it closes the gap. It just tightens the handicap a little bit.
Well, so Calix de la Barrière is your pick.
Yes, Calix de la Barrière. Yeah,
12-1, and I've gone, as I said, for Fairlander. In this one, have we gone for Fairlander? No, I haven't. I've gone for Messerschmitt.
Yeah.
Fairlander in the previous race, which is the 3:05, the 3:40. I've gone for Messerschmitt at 28-1. But
no, meeting Dunham Myler, they are absolutely fine.
The market is not very confident about him. The bumper, though, I did back another Noel Mead horse yesterday at 14s. Noble Indulgence has been backed off the boards into fives.
In
this morning.
The Goff's bumper.
Yeah, this is the Goff's Defender bumper for 4-year-olds. I mean, I'll test Deleuze for Patrick Mullins, Woody Mullins, 11-4 favourite. Baccarat, the most expensive purchase in the race for Gavin Cromwell. Money for that with Derek O'Connor on board into sixes. Abbey Glenn drifting out to 13-2. Hunt and Boots possibly could be the Gordon Elliott first string for Harry Swan. 7-1 was a lot bigger earlier in the week. Strangely enough, Whispered Verdict was backed from about 12-6s, is now back out to 11-1 for Gavin Cromwell. And then of the others, Goliath's Son is 33-1. The trainer had the third in this last year. Barstool Profit, a bit of a nibble. And then Birdie Conway, a bit of a nibble as well at 40s, 50s. But look, you know, once again, a lot of these horses haven't even run yet. So you're really taking a lot on trust, aren't you?
Yeah, yeah. And look, I'd followed the store sales quite a bit. This Baccarat was obviously a big kind of headline grabber. But this is just, there's an auctioneer in Tattersall's name's Alistair Pym, and one of his favourite lines, because they all have sort of lines, and you know, if one's not making maybe the money, he thinks, he's always goes, where are the judges now? And so, you know, you'd like to think, where are the judges now, when you get to the Goff's Defender bumper and you're just looking at these, you know, expensive sales horses, then they finally get to the track. So it's a long way of saying I don't really know, but I'd stick with Baccarat just on the price tag. pedigree and jockey booking.
Okay, back a rack. I'm going to obviously stick with Noble Indulgence. I just think Noel Mead had the Cheltenham bumper winner. I still think he's a very good trainer. Obviously not the champion anymore because Willie Mullins has taken over that mantle, but Noel Mead is very much knows where the time of day is, and Noble Indulgence, horse out of order, St. George. I just always look at Noel Mead's, and because he was 14-1, I had
to. Yeah, and nibble. He won the Cheltenham champion bumper this year as well. Yeah, we're going to talk about more around there tomorrow.
Yeah, so that was an interesting thing for me about him. We also have then the last bumper. Race, which is the closing bumper, another bumper over 2 miles. Once again, another Willie Mullins, Patrick Mullins horse is favoured for this one, as you'd expect, because they've had such a good run in these kind of races before. But it's Delamotte in the colours of Edward Ware, who had a 50-1 winner in the Triumph. 3-1 Drifter. Teofil for Jim Bulger and Derek O'Connor into sixes. Money for that. Pretty Fortunate for Nicky Henderson, 13-2. Bunker Buster was backed but drifted out to sevens now. Summer B, 17-2 for Willie Mullins as well. Hartford for Harry Swan in the saddle, 9-1. Jodie Townend is always good in these races, but Mr. Ragstone is a bit of a drifter for her, 10-1. Others are kind of all drifting in the market in terms of the real outsiders. Some nibbles. Evans Wishes, 40-1, has been backed, as has It's My Twist, the bottom one, 66-1. Ooh, once again, it's tough to work it out. Pretty Fortunate that they're coming over. Nicky Henderson is interesting for me, and he might be the one for me, I think.
Yeah, and look, again, the UK sale was always well represented, and all the big names, there's a sale, there's a Gough sale as well this afternoon after racing, so a lot of those big connections are around. I just thought maybe Charles Burns' horse, Bunker Buster, might be okay. It was obviously well backed on debut at Navan in March, and again, speculative, small stakes, you know. Very.
How much is the run, you think, give a horse advantage over horses that haven't run yet?
It's huge, particularly something like Punchestown, because even, even yesterday at Nice, right, Aidan O'Brien, a really nice horse called Victorious, won a maiden, and it was her first start, and she's obviously very green. And she just came back in to the winner's enclosure. There's a few people there, and they started clapping, and she just kind of went back on her heels like that. So, you know, when horses have not had a run, it's not only that they haven't had a run, they haven't had a race day experience. And like, particularly day one of Punchestown, packed, lively, bit of music about to come on, you know, it's it can be a very different, not that it'd be anything like the March day out in Navan that Bunker Buster had, but you know, it's just that whole experience, and it can set horses up, or it can set them backwards a bit. So yeah, I think it's massive.
We've got a long week ahead of us, and obviously, folks, you need to be careful if you're going to get involved, because we got like until Saturday with the Punchestown Festival. What do you look for then on day one to inform your opinions for the following days? Is it times of races? Is it horses that maybe went to Cheltenham and disappointed? Is it the ground conditions?
Yeah, all of those. The ground would be first and foremost. Ground is first and foremost. Then see how are the big stables performing. You know, as Willie Mullins gone and had 4 winners. Okay, they're probably going to be... So then things like that, and I would look at, yes, they're informed, but they're also probably going to be overbet. So the bookmakers are going to be too protective on a lot of those later on. So there are maybe each way opportunities. So, and again, I just think we've got to look at those UK runners and handicaps as well. I think that's where a lot of UK raiders with these good prize pots and these finals at the end of the year, I'll be watching that. And also, you know, just enjoy the cross country, but don't bet on it.
Yeah, unless it's singing banjo one twice in the week a few years ago. Member for Philip Rothwell. What I would say, folks, is just be selective about your picks and do your homework and really put your head into it. We're trying to give you a bit of an advanced set on this, because we've all gone through the races, and you know, that's what the whole point of it, to steer you in the right direction, but also trust your own judgment. Remember, I spoke to somebody at Cheltenham, and they were very negative about Gaelic Warrior in the Gold Cup, and I was quite positive about Gaelic Warrior, and I still put him in my selections. But never be swayed by somebody else's opinion if you've done your homework in the form book. All our opinions are there to do is to inform you and maybe give you that little bit of an information edge that you can take to the race course with you or to your phone. Let's make our naps for the day. Tom Malone, your nap of the day. Day one of Punchestown here on the Racing Pod special is?
I was going to pop up Marie Nacional, but I'm going to stick with El Kairos earlier on in the novice hurdle there at 4:15. So El Kairos for me.
So Tom Malone's nap of the day is El Kairos for Gordon Elliott and Jack Kennedy in the 4:15, the champion novice hurdle, 9-4 favourite is Al Kairos. What I'm going to do is I'm going to stick with Marine National as my nap as well, folks, today. Not a big price, but I think a good price at 11-4 for last year's winner of the race and the Champion Chase winner last year. Marine National, number 5 in the 6.05 is my nap of the day for trainer Barry Connell and jockey Sean Flanagan. Tom, thanks so much.
Cheers, John.
Look forward to speaking to you during the week and getting Johnny Ward and Don McLean's opinions as well.
Yeah, no, it's a great week. It's a great week. Very much looking forward to it.
A reminder, folks, as well, the full Off the Ball Racing Pod free wherever you get your pods. We're going to be back at 10 a.m. tomorrow for our day 2 preview of Punchestown 2026. And we look forward to having your company then.
The Racing Pod
on Off the Ball
with William Hill, 18+. See gamblingcare.ie.